Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Hitachi Energy India Limited Q1 FY23 analyst conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. N. Venu, MD and CEO, Hitachi Energy India Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining us for the call. I hope all is well at your end, and you continue to take all necessary precautions to safeguard yourself and your families and your colleagues. While the pandemic seems to have eased recently, we reached the 200 crore milestone of cumulative doses administered in the country. However, there are dangers still looming just beyond the horizon. The economy is on the path of recovery to pre-pandemic levels. There's a healthy momentum with demand and economic activity picking up, and business confidence has started to improve the last time we spoke. However, multitude of factors continue to impact the growth numbers. We believe these are short-term challenges which would flatten out in the long term. We have uploaded the presentation which I'm going to use in the BSE and NSE. I'm sure you have seen this. For ease of reference, I'm going to use the slide numbers so that you can just follow on that. Moving to the slide number three. We kick-started the quarter on an optimistic note, but were also cautioned by supply chain constraints such as increasing commodity prices, supply chain constraints, freight and logistics costs, semiconductor crunch. All of these were exacerbated by the turmoil. This has impacted economies and industries, affecting the entire ecosystem, including our profitability as well as that of our customers and partners. In these challenging times, Hitachi Energy India scored a significant order win in the challenging markets. In this quarter ended 30th June, we received orders worth 3,054.6 crores, which is up by 309.7% year-on-year. As a pioneering technology leader, we entrenched in the market with a long-standing partnership with the customers. Our value-driven engagement with customers helped us driving some of the key order wins this quarter. The order for 1,000 MW HVDC link between Kudus to Mumbai reiterates customer confidence in our technology expertise. The game-changing 1,000 MW HVDC link will increase the supply of power to the city by almost 50%, paving the way for utilities in the country to adopt the grid of the future. The order we received from Adani for 1,000 MW HVDC in FEED. Not only this, as you can see, we also received orders from the industries and the rail and data centers. Our long-term fundamentals appear solid. India continues to be a fast-growth market with strong potential, and as a market leader, we continue our engagement with the customers to collectively emerge out of this uncertain market situation. As you can see, with this order, our order backlog end of 30th June is all-time record high, 6,777 crores. Moving to the slide number four. Our work is underpinned by safety, integrity, and quality, and it's always we say they are basically our licenses to operate, and it continues to resonate with our customers through our high service ethics. We have continued organizing regular training sessions for our employees, contract staff, and partners, in some cases even with customers, to also spread COVID, reduce site hazards, and avert any issue arising out of it. We conducted special sessions to spread awareness regarding risk management and life-saving tools, summer readiness exercise, and so on to ensure our people can adapt to new measures and bring safety and well-being into a routine practice as a way of life in all of our workplaces, whether it is offices, our factories, or our project sites. Moving to the slide, next slide, slide number 5. As an organization, we take a holistic approach in growth of the organization, our employees, our ecosystem, our stakeholders, and the community we serve across the country. We won milestone order, as I talked to you previously, such as Mumbai Inseed HVDC, expanded our export footprint by high voltage offering and executed projects from various industrial and infrastructure segments. We contributed to policy leadership forums such as, you know, platform, CII, EMA, etc. And we continue to have a dialogue with the thought leadership forums like a Karnataka Energy Conference, a Sweden-India dialogue on sustainability and also energy transition as a whole. To further share our technology expertise, we inaugurated the Smart Electricity Lab in NIT Warangal, which is aimed at driving smart electric grid technology education, skill development, and research activities. We also reinitiated Hitachi Energy Technology Conference on ground face-to-face event at some of our customer sites, in this case recently in Lucknow, and another held in partnership with the CEA. Marking Environment Day, we conducted a sustainability drive at our manufacturing facility in Gujarat. This was an employee-led initiative and they planted over 1,300 saplings at our Vadodara premises recently. Moving to the slide number 6. Last year, we announced our 2030 carbon neutral goals. We had set milestones defining our journey for operations in India as well as around the world. We modeled our strategies to implement this both ground-up and top-down to meet the urgency and pace of change required to reach a carbon-neutral future. In the last 3 months, we conducted energy assessments across our manufacturing locations. We have nominated location leads who will undergo BEE Certified Energy Manager course and started state course with location ownership and management buy-in help ensure cadence and continuity in our sustainability plans. As you recall, we are the first among many companies to announce ESG committee at the board level to see and monitor how, as a company, we are performing. As you also recall, our portfolio goes into mission critical technology and also our portfolio enables our customers in energy transition, and that is also the reason where we want to walk the talk and take ourselves as targets of carbon neutral in our own operations. Achieving the promise means integrating renewable energy by overcoming capacity issues and reducing waste. We continue to maintain 100% fossil-free electricity consumption at all of our locations, factories. Furthermore, the insights from the assessments also helped us identify the potential to reduce close to 60% CO2 emission by end of this fiscal year. As a responsible organization, we keep proactively doing our bit towards a sustainable future, with the first one being our business responsibility and sustainability report, a non-financial disclosure done for the financial year 21 and 22 period. And this is also first among the many, many companies to set ourselves in the leadership position. We have come out of this report, which we have published as part of our annual report. Moving to the next slide number 7. I think this you know more than me and more than us, but still I would like to touch upon a couple of points on this. We are, as you all know, we are living in a very dynamic market situation, you know. It's started with the COVID and then from there the war and then commodity prices and the port lockdowns, you name anything, you know, in terms of the pandemic. We are still not out of the woods yet, but the definitely the case load has decreased from where we are a year ago, but the concern remains on the COVID situation. There has been a gradual improvement across indices such as index of industrial production and coal industries. Earlier this quarter, India's power demand touched an all-time high of 210 gigawatts, according to analyst report. Electricity demand in just a few months of this year is exceeding the demand anticipated for the year. Analysts estimate Indian GDP in this fiscal year to be in the range of 7 to 8%. While India is largely a consumption-driven economy, we are not isolated by the global headwinds in terms of the supply chain, geopolitical, and macro things. Inflation remains high, above 6% against the global double-digit inflation, and it's projected that anywhere between 6.5 to 7% for financial year 22-23. And our currency further depreciated against the dollar. Just earlier this week, we touched rupees 18 per dollar, all-time high, the lowest in the history. The shortage of semiconductors continue to worry the industry. So all, you know, COVID-19 is to overshadow by supply chain, semiconductor crunch, and also the freight and the port logjam issues in that. Moving to the next slide, slide number 8, which is just want to update you on the situation of a global semiconductor crunch and what kind of mitigation actions we are taking as a company there. So you all know, but just want to reiterate, there are multiple factors at play leading to the present semiconductor crunch that we are facing. For one, there is a spiraling growth in the demand for semiconductors with the increasing digitalization and consumption of electronics and automotives. This, coupled with the lagging impact of COVID disruptions and geopolitical tensions, has reduced semiconductor supply to trickle. But we are working through the problem by reassessing certain strategies that will help us see through the turbulent times in the long term. One of the first strategies is reducing our dependency on the chips by redesigning products. Basically, when I say redesigning products, we will be redesigning the products where the semiconductors for that redesigned product are easily available or available more. And increasing our focus on product lines that do not depend heavily on semiconductor. As we have a vast portfolio where we would like to concentrate on the portfolio where the dependency on the semiconductor is less. So we are collaborating with our global teams. As a global company, we also leverage global supply chains with this. So we will work, in sync with the global teams in business unit operations and supply chain teams on stock sharing and material allocations, as is the case maybe. We are proactively stocking some of the fast-moving electronic items to provide temporary hedging from the skyrocketing product prices. While the global semiconductor manufacturers and the global supply chain organizations are continuously working towards striking the balance of demand and supply, in our view, it will take some time to reach ideal scenarios. Analysts are predicting that we are yet to hit the upper limit of demand, and that the material cost, especially for semiconductor, might further rise in the near term owing to ongoing inflationary pressure. Moving to the next slide, that is slide number 9. If you look at the breakup of the orders, demand in this quarter was driven by orders from across the segments, including transmission, industry, rail, metro, and power quality. While the HVDC order wins accounted for the large jump in the order, but without the HVDC order also, our orders growth is very robust across the segments. We saw a very robust growth of orders in the industry segment. As you can see, almost 100% growth compared to the last quarter, same year. And this also explains the sharp rise in the number of orders handled through direct sales in that. A considerable portion of our orders pertaining to renewable energy aligned with the central and state priorities for capacitors and reactors, which is basically power quality solutions, Some of these marquee orders are railways, data centers, industry, such as a couple of orders for the traction transformer from Indian Railways and private rail equipment manufacturers. All in all, this quarter has been one of the biggest quarter in terms of the ordering flows for our company, and orders came from transmission sector, industry, and railways, metro, and infrastructure. Moving to the next slide, slide number 10. As you recall, one of our key enablers for the growth and bottom line has been service and exports. Let me touch on the service and exports. Exports was roughly, we have been talking about, 20 to 25% was our target corridor where we would like to reach. Last year we already reached in the midpoint of the target corridor, and I'm happy to share with you that in this quarter as well, export was roughly 23% of total Hitachi Energy India's order in this quarter from markets like Uganda, Saudi Arabia, and Azerbaijan, etc. We have a midterm, as I told you, midterm target, 20 to 25% growth in order and revenue from exports market, and we have comfortably stayed in this corridor for the last 4 quarters now. And this is also important for us as the ongoing global supply chain constraints and the geopolitical issues are compelling global customers to look at alternative supply chain routes and partners. In our view, India has the potential to make its mark as a resilient partner offering high-quality products to different markets globally. And moving from exports to service, our service portfolio continues to deliver 10% growth year over year. We see the scope to increase certain markets, and we are adding a new customer names to our portfolio with a service order. As we have a huge installed base, our focus is to penetrate into our installed base and add more customers in that. So we have added new customers like TSPCL, Vartaman, ST Telemedia as part of our service offerings to these customers. And as a small step of leveraging synergies with Hitachi groups, we booked the first order for a modular switchgear monitoring from Hitachi Japan, and for servicing the group companies GIS switchgear as well. So these are a couple of examples to just show that how our service offerings are going in line with our strategy, and also going together with our new owners, that is Hitachi, where we are leveraging the synergies to offer our portfolio to them. Moving to the next slide, slide 11, financial performance. Our long-term strategy put in place to combat the global headwinds will take us through the uncertain market conditions. Even amidst the ongoing tribulations, we have delivered a sustained performance. The company booked orders for 3,054.6 crores, which is up 309% year-on-year. And as I told you, without the HVDC also, our orders were up high double-digit year-on-year growth. Revenues rose 24.4% year-on-year, reaching 991.3 crores for the quarter ended June 30, 2022. Supported by world-class project management execution, the company commissioned several substations, switchyard projects for utilities, industries, data centers, and infrastructure sectors. In the quarter, profit before tax was 2.1 crores and profit after tax was 1.3 crores, while operational EBITDA stood at 35.7 crores. The quarter witnessed rising costs of commodities and supply chain bottlenecks, creating a drag on margins. Various measures are being adopted to reduce the impact, with a special focus on semiconductor supplies. On the order backlog, we have a healthy pipeline that provides around several quarters of the revenue visibility. During the quarter, we received the large HVDC order that has further strengthened our world order book, which stands at all-time high of 6,777 crores. This helps us plan for the future and prepare accordingly as a company. Moving to my last slide number 12, priorities for the financial year 22-23. COVID still remains a matter of concern, and we are determined to ensure that we continue supporting the healthcare infrastructure for our employees and their family and the community. We continue with our tried and tested three-pronged strategy, that is protecting our people, preserving business continuity, and preparing for the new norm. We will focus on high growth segments. In addition to our traditional segment, as we have been talking about high growth segments, where we have a very good value proposition to offer to our customers, is yielding a very good result. We continue to focus on that, building a sustainable operation to tide us through the short-term supply-side challenges. We strive to capture a large share of the market with our localized portfolio, developing indigenous competencies and new business models through unique partnerships. As you know, our strategy is to grow ahead of the market, as we are taking several leading initiatives, and that is helping us to grow higher than the market continuously for the last several quarters. We will strengthen our leadership position to grow, continue to grow faster in the market with a single focus on cash over revenue. We believe this is possible with our emphasis on growing the high growth segments, namely rail, transmission, renewable, data center, HVDC, power quality, and automation. We will continue leveraging our growth through digital solutions, traditional service offering and portfolio, and exports, leveraging our local presence. As you know, we are manufacturing more than 80% of our globally manufactured portfolio we manufacture locally here. We would like to leverage this local manufacturing not only for the domestic market, but also the export markets. We have and will continue to invest in the planet, people, peace, and partnership with our commitment to making our operations carbon neutral and sustainable. That's the reason we have announced our carbon neutral strategy 2030, and we have also announced all the teams and the locations are working towards ensuring that we will meet our targets of carbon neutral in our own operations by 2030. We believe diversity and collaboration equal great innovation, and therefore we promote peaceful and inclusive society for a sustainable development. Last year, the whole of last year, we have added 30% more female employees in our company. And this is our commitment that Diversity 360 will definitely bring diversity and collaboration with a great innovation to that. We will be working towards building a more sustainable and profitable company over a period of time. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. I would now like to open the channel for your questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone wishing to ask a question may please press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is on the line of Ranjit Shivram from Mahindra Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Congrats on the order win.
Thank you, Ranjit.
Yeah, if you can just throw some more light, like how much was the difference between us and the L2?
Yeah. So thank you, Ranjit. As you know, this is a tender where we have submitted, and it is not like unlike in a PGCL, it is not opened in publicly, so we do not have any privy to the information of L2 and other things. So what we believe is that, you know, when we have submitted our tender, so we are both technically and commercially competitive.
Okay, so it's more of a negotiated tender, over.
It's not a negotiator. It's like a, you know, like international ICB, international competitive bid, where we have submitted our bid, and then they have announced that we are the successful bidder.
Okay. And sir, how much is the value of this Adani order? Because I think you haven't mentioned that.
Yeah. So as you know, we have a, as part of our request from our customers, so we don't share the exact value as the bid details were not open publicly. So you can expect that, you know, the HVDC projects are very large projects and runs into, you know, several years.
So what's the timeline for this? When will it commence and when do you...
The commencement has started and we have to complete in 38 months.
28 months from this August 1st or this month?
38 months. This is booked in the last quarter, so 38 months from June.
From June. Okay. Sure. And sir, just if I can ask, why the margins were a bit lower this quarter? Is it only to do with commodity prices, or you feel the competitiveness has been higher, or is something to do with the product?
I think there are multiple reasons in this quarter. That is the quarter gone, which is basically I would put it in three or four buckets. One is that revenue of product mix. Second one, as I talked about, semiconductor shortages, because as you know, we use a lot of semiconductors in grid automation and also in HVDC product lines. And the third one is supply chain disruptions leading to increase in freight and logistics costs, and also sometimes not availability, etc. And the third one is, and the fourth one is exchange and commodity price fluctuations. So these are the primary four reasons due to which the margins were lower.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Apurva Bahadur from Investec. Please go ahead.
Hey, hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, I believe the next large order that the industry will have its eye on is Power Grid's Leh transmission. So any update on that? By when can we expect the ordering? What would be the size? And also, do we intend to participate in the storage element of that order as well?
Yeah. Thank you for your question, Apurva. And yes, Leh Khaisal is a very key project. And as you know, HVDC, you know, Vikasi Energy is pioneered in this technology. More than 50% of our installed base, including the new projects around the world, including India, runs through our technology. So we are very key. We have been working with our customers on this. And we believe that, you know, the tender would come, you know, shortly. Will not be in a position to tell exactly when, as we don't have any information. But we know that that is the next HVDC project being awarded. As you recall, in some time back, we are saying there's so much of renewable coming in, so much of energy transition. Our forecast has been that every year one HVDC tender will come up for bidding in this country for at least next 3 to 4 years. So we have been geared up. We are doing a lot of localization of our equipment. So for this part, for your information, for HVDC Mumbai project, almost 80% of that particular project will be manufactured in India locally.
Okay, great. Sir, on the storage component for the Leh project as well, do we have the technology tie-up for it?
We have, you know, we do the storage as a battery energy storage. We do that. But as you know that, you know, right now, the plan for our customer, PGCL, in our view is that they will go with the HVDC first and later they will come with the storage. So but in any case, we have the technology.
Fair enough, sir. Very useful. Sir, also...
Sorry to interrupt, Mr. Bahadur. So may we request that you return to the question queue? Thank you. We'll move on to the next question. That is in the line of Amit Mahawar from Edelweiss. Please go ahead.
Hi. Congratulations for the large project win. Sir, I have the first question is basically on in this quarter, how much is the forex risk we have, and if you can comment on also the royalty and technology fees. Generally, is it higher than the last year average as a percentage of sales, or it's basically so some color on that, and generally on profitability metrics, because Q1 was very sharp impact, and this is despite your gross margins, which are relatively stable. So it seems the overhead, are basically on multiple points impacting the profitability. So if you can comment on the profitability and the details, sir.
Thank you, Amit. I'll ask our CFO Ajay to answer your first part of it. Then I'll come back and comment on the first part.
Thank you for the question. So the first part, if I understand correctly, was more on the profitability side and the royalty fee side. So let me first, answer the royalty. First, let me take on the royalty fees. So royalty fees is we are hovering around the 4%, so it is at the same level. So we do not see any increase compared to the earlier part. That is one. Coming to the forex, for this particular quarter, yes, we have been impacted by exchange and commodity price fluctuation. And that is basically, if I talk about roughly 13 crores is a total value that I can attribute to for this particular impact for this particular quarter.
So on the just to add to our CFO, royalty fees is extremely important because we are a global company. The whole energy landscape is changing so much, and it needs to be all of our portfolio needs to be updated one, and all on top of that we need to bring a new portfolio in there. So it's extremely important that this is like our investment for getting the new technology, new products, new offerings, etc. And that is this changing landscape of the energy transition. That's super important. And as I commented saying, we have basically the whole ecosystem is affected with the supply chain constraint. The supply chain constraint includes some of the semiconductors issues. If you take the semiconductor issue, how is it evolved? Initially in the world that the prices were higher. Later on, then the delivery issues came out. Today, now it's not availability. So from the high prices, non-availability of not committing the deliveries to non-availability of semiconductors. So as you have seen my slide also how the global semiconductor industry is facing in that. So that is the reality. So far we were able to manage through our safety stacks, but once the safety stuff we have exhausted those safety stacks and the inflows were actually reduced. So we have several actions in place to mitigate this particular challenge being faced here. So while we are also engaged with the CXO levels of these companies at the global level, we're also working with our other companies to have sharing of those things. And we are also redesigning some of our products where the semiconductor availability of semiconductor is easier or better with that. So all these actions would not happen overnight for sure. It would take some time, and those are the actions at least from the company standpoint we are taking.
Thanks, Venu. And second and last question is on basically, do you think high-speed rail ordering, now that EPC is largely going to be over in the next couple of months, one can assume that high-speed rail equipment ordering for you will happen in the next 12 to 14 months? And also on the upcoming tenders for, Vande Bharat and other railway tenders, generally your assessment of the offerings, two, three large equipment specs that Hitachi will benefit from. Thank you.
So as we have been talking about, we talked about SPDG, we have booked the SPDG loss in the last quarter. So similarly, the high-speed rail, which is funded by the Japanese government, is definitely in our radar. It's our targeted opportunity, and we have been working on that. And our estimate, or at least our assessment, is that the tendering will go by first quarter of the next year. Last quarter of this financial year. So that is very, very clearly in our radar, and we are working because we have a lot of our portfolio which is locally manufactured can go into this particular segment in that. So similarly, there are many other trade projects, for example, Train 8,
Train 18 is the one such mega project. One day Mattam train. All these things we are working very closely with you know, train the manufacturers, and we have a huge portfolio which going to that. And as and when you know it comes to that, we will inform you. But this is the most you know targeted segment for us as a company.
No, thanks, Venu, and good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll move on to the next question. That is on the line of Varun Basrur from Julius Baer Wealth Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello. Good evening, sir. I hope I'm audible.
Yes, please. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi. So my question is just a continuation of what a previous participant asked. You know, on the other expenses, you know, was the Forex impact 30 crores?
It's
13 crores. And if you can just sort of, if you could, are there any other unusual or one-off expenses which you can quantify in the current quarter?
No, I think just to add to here, we don't have any other one-off thing. I talked about basically the four things: revenue, product mix, semiconductor shortage, and supply chain disruptions, which is also increase our freight and logistic costs, and finally the exchange and commodity price fluctuation.
Sure, sure. And so regarding our you know our order book, what percentage of our contracts allow us to pass through any cost escalations that we encounter?
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for patiently holding. We now have the line for the management reconnected. Over to you, sir.
Sorry, Mr. Varun. Please go ahead and ask if the line got disconnected.
Yeah, sure, sir. So my question was, what percentage of our contracts allow us to pass through cost escalations? And one more question, if I may, is how would our EBITDA margins look in this financial year?
Yeah. So let me answer you the first one. That over 65% of our portfolio has escalation clauses. But you need to understand that is a traditional of our escalation clause. Either closing or formulas or something like that. But what we are facing right now is unprecedented. For example, you have a feed cost. You are those kind of costs are not covered in that. It is unusually very high. For example, our overseas freight is huge. It's not a percentage of increase, but it is in terms of you know X. So those kind of things are very very difficult to quantify and do that. So that's the one and. We will not be giving you any, you know, guidance on the EBITDA margin for the quarter. What I can say is that I can give a little bit of color to you. That you know, we have been consistently saying that you know, we have a clear strategy to grow as in the market. That growth, as you have already seen, we have a huge order backlog, 6,770 crores, with the fixed cost of our thing. When the revenue comes, then naturally you'll have a margin accretion over a period of time. And then we also have a strategy on the exports. We have a strategy on our service offering, digital offering. All this would get us into a double-digit EBITDA margin by end of 2025 financial year. So last year, you see, we are very close to 9% of EBITDA margin. Thank you.
All right, sir. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. We'll move on to the next question. That is on the line of Manish Dhariwal from Fiducer Capital Advisors Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, very good afternoon and thank you so much for this opportunity. My compliments to the team for securing a very good traction on the order inflow. Now, given the fact that we are you know, living in turbulent times, higher orders also bring with them some risks, as we have seen this quarter's profitability. So I request the management to give us a flavor of what kind of profitability matrix can be expected and what kind of you know escalation clauses that have been put so that this continuing volatility in the exchange rates, in the supply disruptions, etc., do not cause further impact on the profitability.
Thank you, Manish, and appreciate very much. As you know, as our strategy, not this quarter, but last several quarters, we have taken a strategy that, you know, we do not accept any project which has no escalation clause or any big order, large order, which does not have any escalation clause, or any order which go into a long gestation period do not have any escalation clause. So with that, all the orders, whatever we are securing, we have a clearly the installation process built in, and also there are several force majeure clauses also we have kept as part of some of the orders. You know, semiconductors not availability also in some contracts we have brought in as part of the force majeure, which is a, you know, a unique way to protect our margin and our contracts also in that. So as a company, we have seen this coming in. It's not that it's a surprise. The only the last quarter, the impact is a surprise, but otherwise we know these challenges, and we were taking all the actions to face those challenges in that.
Right, sir. Right. Now some of the customers, they are like very highly leveraged, and what kind of debtor cycle that we have on these contracts, meaning the payment terms that we have agreed on them, meaning are we taking any risk on that?
No, sorry, it was not clear. Can you please repeat once again?
So the payment ability of the customers,
yeah,
is also to be, it's also a risk. So given the fact that the leverage, the position of some of the customers is like very high, so how are our payment terms covering those kind of challenges that may happen?
Right. I think, as you know, this is always a risk here, and that's the reason, you know, we also have a clear strategy that, you know, we also negotiate the payment terms, which is, you know, like, for example, we'll have a large contract, a large orders, do have a good level of advance payments, and the rest of the things is covered through a confirmed letter of credit with that. So we have been doing this, and so far we have been successful. There could be, you know, some percentage of portfolio orders booked may have a direct credit, but by and large, most of our orders comes in with a clear and committed payment terms in that. Payment security.
Wonderful, sir. So all the very best, and thank you for this opportunity once again.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Viraj Bhutani from Jupiter. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, sir. Am I audible to you?
Yes, Mr. Viraj. Go ahead.
Sir, my question is in continuation of the previous participant. So listening to your comments, is it fair to say that we have fairly learned about in this quarter, so a lot of things have been taken care of going forward from here in terms of escalation clauses, commodity, pricing, other things?
What I was telling you, Vidat, is that, you know, certain things, even though we have learned, for example, semiconductors, we have learned, it's not possible for us to, you know, overcome the challenge if the supplies are not coming in, right? So while we are taking a lot of action to, you know, redesign the things, that will take time. That will not happen, you know, overnight in that. So when it comes to the semiconductors, you have also probably seen this. The best estimate is that, you know, it will definitely improve, but to normalize it anywhere, it going to the 2023 or so. It will improve from quarter to quarter. But to really to normalize to the level where we used to see, and that is not going to be before, or at least in the year 2023. So,
oh my nice. Okay.
And same is the case, you know, what we have done in the escalation cost, traditional escalation clauses have been built in that, for example, the copper, the TR0, the oil in the transformer, and steel in that. But, you know, the escalation when it comes to the, you know, the feed cost, when it comes to the, our overseas, because we do a lot of exports now, right? The strategy we have built in exports, right? So those things will take more time to stabilize, you know?
Okay. Sir, my next question is, the orders which you have received, are margin accretive, or we have been sacrificing some margin to penetrate the market? Like, if you can give some sense on that.
We have, as you know, in the case of HVDC, we are a pioneer with this technology, right? We never taken an order to, you know, sacrifice our margins to get an order. We don't want to book an order for sake of booking an order, you know. So what it for us, every project, we always look at risk-reward portfolio. What is the risk and what is the reward it is giving? And once it fits into our strategy, then only we go for it. So that is our clear strategy. We have it, and we adopt for every project we look at it, including this one.
And so my last question is, we supply to the government utilities. So do we take into account the debtor cycle, the sometimes government state utilities in particular take long time to pay? So we take our precautions when we provide to them whatever service or products we provide to them? Or
no. Viraj, can you please repeat if you don't mind, because the line is not very good.
We supply to a lot of utility companies, the power companies, which is probably the government, central government, state government. So when we supply to them or offer services to them, do we take care of the thing that the payment terms are very clear so that our payment don't get postponed, which is the case with the government, you know? So
absolutely. Absolutely. No, we do not, you know, at the moment we see any risk, we don't even go for that particular project at all. In some electricity boards, where we see a huge amount of delay, then we will always, you know, take a decision on that. But most of our contracts, which are with the central utilities like PGCIL or Indian Railways like CLW, DLW, where we see our payments are fairly, you know, accurate as for the payment schedule.
Okay, so that's it from my side, and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vishal Bararia from Max Life Insurance. Please go ahead.
Thank you. So something on the export front, we had a target to increase it to 25% in a few years. So where are we on that track? Have we seen incremental traction because of the chaos that...
Vishal, I think your line is very feeble. Can you please, can you please speak louder?
Yeah. So my question was pertaining to Europe, to exports mainly. We had set a target of 25% exports of revenue in a few years. So where are we on that? By when do you plan to achieve it? And the other is, are we seeing any near-term traction on exports because of the chaos that we are seeing in Europe because of the energy crisis and other aspects?
I think, you know, when it comes to the exports, I think we ourselves set a midterm target of between 20 to 25%, and last year we were in the range of 23% of our revenue, and our orders came from exports last year. Our orders came from exports last year, and this quarter also I was telling you that now we reached exports 23%. So we have a three-pronged strategy exports. One is the directly we export some of the products. We have a global feeder factory. Some of the factories, we have a global factory, like our circuit breaker and complex relays, where they go everywhere around the world. And then second strategy is that we also have a global feeder factory where we sell the components to some of our factories. And the third one is we do the direct sales to, you know, customers like in Africa or in the Middle East and also in South America, etc. And we have a very clear strategy to bring it to the 25, and we believe that we already reached the mid corridor of our thing, even though we kept 3-year target, but we have reached and we continue to grow on this side.
Okay. Have you seen any near-term delta in exports or inquiries from Europe or from the feeder factories because of the chaos in Europe where the production has
been? Yes. There is, I don't want to say it's a chaos, but we are going as per our strategy. We have a very clear strategy to bring some of the products to the local manufacturing. And that's the reason we have been expanding. We have been also telling you that, you know, we have a clear capex to support the exports. We have inaugurated one factory last quarter, and then we also have several factories lined up as part of that thing. You know, we also, one of our conference call, we have also told what are the factories we are investing and expanding it, or coming up with a new green project for the example. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kunal from BNK Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, I just wanted to quickly get your view on, so when I look at in some of your end markets, you know, like data centers, railways, the renewables, they all are quite high growth markets. So I just wanted to get your view on what can be the medium term or, you know, long term growth, you know, number that one should work with in each of these sectors, like utilities, industries and transportation as you classify it. Is it right to assume that all of this are, you know, mid-teens kind of a growth sectors, or, you know, would like to hear your views on the team, sir?
So, Kunal, thank you for your question. If you really look at, you know, the Indian power sector, really going for a huge transformation, right? You know, the growth in the energy or power demand is phenomenal, right? It's already reached the 200 gigawatt. It needs a lot of renewables coming in, and it needs a lot of technology support to the grid and the rest of the you know, industry associated with that. So our growth segment is definitely a transmission and the renewable, right? So this will be a far higher growth. And so everything will grow, but these are the growth, they grow higher than the normal market average. So HVDC, transmission, for example, HVDC is one example in that. How HVDC previously is a one HVDC project for 3 to 4 years. Now we expect at least every year one HVDC project, or every 1.5 year one HVDC project. So that is the kind of developments are taking place, and that's the reason we are also localizing a lot of equipment, which we used to bring it from outside of our overseas company, so we are manufacturing everything here in that. So that's one aspect of it. And the second thing is, we see the industrial capex. We have seen industrial capex. A lot of industrial capex they have already announced it. Maybe due to the current macro situation, there could be some delay in decision making. But we are seeing our pipeline is very robust at this point. Our pipeline in terms of transmission, in terms of the renewable, in terms of in terms of the industry capex, whether it is the steel and the cement and aluminium, they are really going for expansions and also the data centers. So they are the high growth segment. They are growing higher than the market average, and we have a clear strategy to grow above the market. And that's the reason you have seen our orders in the last quarters that reflecting our strategy.
Sure, sir. This was really helpful. Just a quick follow-up on that one, sir. You mentioned about, you know, localization. So, you know, currently what would be the level of localization across the company?
No, I would call as a, you know, it depends again, product to product, things like that. What I'm saying is that globally, whatever we are manufacturing, if we are manufacturing 100% of our portfolio, 80% of that we are manufacturing locally.
Oh.
So that means everything is available locally, in line with the Make in India, bringing the new technology. Last quarter, we announced opening up a new factory, which is a resin cast, resin integrated polymer bushing, which is the first time 400 kV transformer, that kind of bushings were being manufactured here. This is a very high technology intensive product, so we got it here and we are manufacturing here. So this is just to give a flavor of it.
Sure, sir. Great, sir. Thank you so much and best of luck for the future.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraint, that was our last question. I now hand the conference over to Mr. N. Venu for his closing comments.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for taking your time on meeting with our call, and appreciate very much for lack of time. I think we could not answer any more questions, but please reach out to us. anytime, and we are happy to answer your questions if any. So meanwhile, please take care of yourself, your families, and your colleagues, and stay safe and stay strong. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Hitachi Energy India Limited, that concludes this conference call. We thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.